We continue our learning the Nishmas Davi B'Menachemish and Ham Yaakov and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Adios, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis. We continue to list the testimonies of Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Amar Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, Miyamai lo ra'isi or yotzei lebeis haserif. I've never seen in my life the skin of an animal being taken out to be burnt. What's he speaking about? So if you have an animal that becomes disqualified, an animal becomes a korban that becomes pasul, so halacha is that we have to burn the animal. You can't put it on the mizbeach. It has to be burnt. What do we typically do with the skin of an animal of a korban? Well, that you flay it, you remove it from the animal, and you give it to the kohanim. What if the entire animal, though, with the skin attached became disqualified? So we would expect that the skin of should be burnt as well, along with the animal. However, Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim says the following, that if you, certainly if you flay the animal in advance, and now the skin is separate, and now you have the animal becomes pusil, the meat, the flesh becomes pusil, we understand the meat is burnt, and the skin can go to the Kohanim. But let's say you have where the skin and the animal are together, you flay the animal, and you find out that the animal became pusil really while the skin was still attached. So one would expect, well, if when the animal came pusil, the skin was still attached, just the fact that I found out afterwards, after I separated the skin, now I find out that it was pusil to begin with. That shouldn't be a reason why we should be able to give the skin to the kohanim. We should have to burn the skin as well. He says no. He says, in fact, I've never seen such a thing. I've never seen in such a case where even though the psul was in the korban before it was flayed, before you remove the skin. Nonetheless, if we only find out about afterwards, the skin is given to the kohanim, it's not a problem. That's what he means. I've never seen the skin being taken out to be burnt. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says, Midvarav, from what Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim has told us, so if you apply that concept to a case of a bechor, listen what we find out. Labmanu, from his words, we learn the following. Shehamafshit es habechor v'nimtza treifa. You have a bechor. Bechor is the firstborn animal. It's supposed to be kadosh, and it's typically brought as a korban. If there's a mum in the animal, it's given to the kohanim to shech. They're able to eat it. You don't have to bring it as a korban. And he's saying the following, you have a bechor, you flayed the bechor. So now the skin is separate from the bechor, and you find out that after you did that, you separated the skin, the animal is really a treifa. So what do I learn from Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim said regarding karbanos in general? I could apply that to a bechor that I find out is a treifa. Treifa means that obviously it's some disease in the animal that's going to die within a year, it won't live, and therefore it's usher to eat. The Torah says you can't eat a treifa. So I learned from here that if you skin the animal and you find out only afterwards that it was a treifa to begin with, since I found out after I skinned it, sheye osu hakonem ba'oro, that the konem are able to use the skin and the skin, I don't have to burn the skin. Now, what is Rabbi Kiva coming to teach us? So if you have a bechor, and there's a mum in the bechor. So we said if there's a blemish in the bechor, so it's not bought as a carbon, you shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what are we allowed to do with that bechor? So we're allowed to eat it. The pasuk says v'chiyev and devarim tezvav, parshas re'ei v'chiyevo mum piseach obi ver kol mumra. If there's a mum in the bechor, lo siz bachenu l'Hashem elokecha, but rather bish'arecha tochel anishid within which means within Yerushalayim, but it's not brought as a korban. What happens if the bechor dies? So the skin is prohibited and it has to be burnt. Nonetheless, what is he coming to teach us, Rabbi Akiva? Based on what Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim said regarding a korban where he had a regular korban and the animal and became disqualified. And what do we do? The skin, I only found out it became disqualified after I flayed it. So the skin can go into the kohanim. So if I find out that the bechor is a treifa, it's not disqualified, but it's a treifa, you're not allowed to eat it. And I only found out that it was a treifa after I flayed it. So now the skin has been separated. Now I find out that it's a treifa. So then the skin should be permitted through the shechting of the bechor. And it shouldn't be an issue. I shouldn't have to get rid of the skin. So that's what Rabbi Akiva derives from Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Says the Mishnah, Chachamim Omim, Lo Ra'inu Eino Raya. Rabbi Chanin Iskanokrim said, what did he say? I've never seen in my life the skin, the hide of the animal of a disqualified korban being taken out to be burnt. The fact that he's never seen that, that's a raya. We don't do that. Maybe in fact we do have to burn the skin along with the, if the skin in fact became a puzzle along with the animal, the fact that he only found that afterwards is not a reason we don't have to burn the skin. He's just never seen that happen. Maybe indeed they did burn the skin. He just never saw it happen. Or maybe in his time there was never a case where the korban became pusil. They only found out that the korban was pusil after they flayed the animal. So there's no raya there. Ela yotze levei sasefa. Therefore, the korban becomes pusil even though you had flayed the animal. The skin has been removed before you found out about the disqualification of the animal. You have to burn the skin. It cannot go to the kohanim. That's the opinion of the chachamim. Perek Bey's Mishnah Gimel. Af hu he'id al kfar katan shehaya b'tzad Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Chanin Iskanokonim gave another testimony regarding a small village that was next to Yerushalayim. V'haya bo zokein echad, and there was an elderly man there. V'yamal ve'lecho b'nei ha'kfar v'kosev b'chsav yado. What would he do? He would lend a lot of money. He must have had a lot of money. He was lending a lot of money to the people in the village, and he would always write the documents, the loan documents, the IOUs were written in his handwriting. V'acherim chosmen and other aidim, other witnesses, would sign on those documents. Uva maisel ifnei chachamim v'hitiru. And the case came from the chacham, and they realized he was writing all of these documents on his own and lending money to a lot of people. And he said, the chacham said, this is permitted. If I have kosher edim sign on it, the shtar is kosher, even though he's doing the writing. He didn't have a scribe, he didn't have a sofer do the writing. So what do you see, derech agav? What do you see parenthetically from this story of Chanin, or this testimony? Shehaisha, this is true regarding this malveh who lent the money, that he could write it in his own handwriting. As long as people are signing, that's okay. Shaisha Koseva says Gita, a woman can write her own get and give it to her husband so that he has two edim sign on it, and he then will give it back to her as L'shem Gerishin. Because if a malveh, he's writing the IOU, he's the one who's supposed to get the money. So we allow him to write that, that the Lova owes the money, we let him do it with his own handwriting. So the same thing would be true. We would allow a woman to write her own get for her on her behalf. Let the husband, give it to the husband. The husband now has it signed by two edim. V'ish koseves shovaro. And after he pays her the ksuva, that's one example. Number one is we allow the woman to write her get, and we allow a man, let's say, after he pays the woman the ksuva, to write his own receipt. Remember, the receipt is going to go to the husband, so he has a receipt that he paid the ksuva. So this is really something we'd expect the woman to write, the same way we expect the husband to write the get. Nonetheless, we allow it to be flipped. A woman can write a shofar, the husband can write the receipt for himself, give it to the woman, and then she gives it to him now as a proof that he paid the ksuva there, and he can write it himself, and the woman will sign upon it. She'ein kium haget el b'chosma. Why is this allowed in the case of the get or the case of the receipt? Because how do we establish a get? We establish a get through the edim that are signed on the get. So if the primary, if what's essential for the get are the chasimo, so those who sign, so it doesn't matter who writes the get, or for that matter, any other shtar, anyone can write it, even when it's someone who's no get. A dover who's been very involved, and we would think that he should not have the right to do so and shouldn't be trusted. He's kosher because the edim, as long as we have edus, kosher edim, then the shtar is going to be kosher. That's regarding the get, regarding the receipt, and regarding the IOU. That was the testimony number 3 of Rav Chanin Iskanokonim. And now, number 4 of Al Machat, what else did he testify about? Regarding a needle, Shenimtzeis Bas Basar. Here you have a needle that became Tamei Meis. So this was in that little metal needle, whatever was in a room where there was a dead body, who touched a dead body, and now that's has Tumas Meis. A Kli could become Tamei Meis. And it was stuck into the flesh of a korban. And when you cut open the korban in the Azara, you notice that this metal kli, was this metal needle, which you know was Tamei Meis, was right in the flesh of the korban. Now, we don't know we know that it touched the flesh of the korban. We don't know is when you cut the animal open with a knife, did it touch the knife? Or did that needle touch the person? That we don't know. So what did Rabbi Chanina Iskanakonin testify about this? If you found this needle inside the flesh, and you're not sure if the person touched the needle, or the sakin, or the knife touched that needle, which was Tamei Meis, Shahasakin Bahayadaim Tahoros. We can assume, since it's a suffix, that the knife and that cut the animal and the hands of the person who touched the animal, who did the cutting, are going to be Tahor and not a problem. Why do we have the right to be lenient? It's the suffix of Tumas Meis. The answer is, this is suffix Tumah Berushus HaRabim. And the rule is, when you have a suffix Tumah Berushus HaRabim, Sveiko Tahor. This is derived from the laws of Sota. When you have a suffix tumah berushus hayachid, though, so then we assume rushus, and rushus haram, rushus hayachid may have different definitions. Just means a few people rushus haram, maybe two people's rushus haram, with respect to this halacha. So suffix tumah berushus hayachid, we say sveiko is. So it's tummy. But here, since the Azar is a Rishus HaRabim, we have the right to be lenient regarding a Suffolk Tumah, and therefore the knife and the hands are of the person are who touch the flesh are Tahor, and we don't have to assume that they touch the needle that's inside the flesh of the animal. V'habasar Tameh. But the flesh, of course, is Tameh because the needle that was Tameh definitely touched that. So that's not a Shaila. And what about, why wouldn't we say, well, if we know the knife touched the meat, then the meat became Tameh, so shouldn't the knife become Tameh? So the answer is no. The knife doesn't become Tameh from Basar because a Kli cannot become Tameh from Ochlin, from food. The Mefarshim, based on the Gemara in Psachim Adav Chaf and Chulim Daf Laman Vav, say that we're speaking about a korban that they, right before they shechted it, they put it in the river, so like a parah of shlamim, let's say, before they typically would put it in the river before the shechita. Why? So that the skin that they would remove, which goes to the owner of the animal, of a shlamim, let's say, will be easier to flay, because you need water there. And because it came in contact with water, that when they did the shechita, there was liquid on there. Since there was liquid on there, so that is machshir, the flesh, to become, it makes it susceptible to tumah. Otherwise, if there's no liquid, so then the flesh can't become tummy anyway from the needle, because it has to be mukhshar lekabel tumah. You need a liquid, one of the liquids come in contact. You'll say, isn't there, what about the blood of karbanos are there that they're used in the azara? So that's not machshir, but flesh to become tummy. So it's only because of the water that was upon it that makes it susceptible to tumah. And that's why the needle makes the flesh tummy. Vimnim says baperesh. But let's say you found the needle not in the flesh, but you found it in the excrement that's inside the intestines of the animal, then hakol tahor, then everything's tahor, even the flesh of the animal is tahor, because the machat, that tamei meis needle, didn't touch the flesh. And we don't assume that the excrement now is going to be metame the basar, because maybe the excrement has the status of a liquid, and it's a liquid that's tame, can be metame foods, because that excrement is saruach, it's smelly, it's filthy, and therefore it's not included in the status of mashke, of liquid at all.